This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
Hi, welcome to All the Rage TV edition. This is Jason J. Hughes. Joining me as always is Brandon C. Williams.
I know we're a week late, but we have an explanation.
Yes, that is actually what I was going to say next. We are a week late. It's been 5 weeks. Surprisingly, even though we're a week late, it doesn't mean you're going to necessarily get a supersized edition because we've kind of hit a quiet lull in the land of TV. There's a few renewals coming out, but and a lot of shows are on hiatus, just basically waiting for next month when we get the big finale blitz. So when a little event came up that sent a good chunk of the 8 Days of Geek crew on the road, we decided it wasn't a bad idea to postpone this week, see if anything came out of it. And our own Brandon Williams was one of the people that did go to C2E2.
That's right. It was an adventure.
So I think he brought back at least one little morsel for us from that. If nothing else, I didn't go, so I don't know what all excitement
there will be more in the other podcast, but in the TV there's basically only one.
Now, has any of,
I got.
Any of your all coverage that you guys did, has it hit the site yet? Anything?
What we're talking about right now actually just yesterday, not a lot of it, but some of it got posted yesterday. I'm going to go into a little more depth of it because Jesse just talked about his experience at the panel, and then I talked about my experience at the Cup of Joe panel. I'm going to actually go into the explanation of the TV panel. So,
alrighty. Well, we'll save that a little bit for later because there are a few things to talk about. If I can not be an idiot and find my list here. Too many tabs, too much going on. I'm going to start with a sad note, and it's one of those interesting things like Charles Schulz dying the day of the last peanut strip hitting the newspaper. It's kind of just where things line up sometimes. And Jonathan Frid, who played the original Barnabas Collins, he didn't wait till like the premiere of the movie, but all the talk is about the new movie. For Dark Shadows, and then he passed away a couple days ago now, I think. And did you ever actually even see the old Dark Shadows?
Oh, yeah, it was actually...
It's before both of our time, I think.
Yeah, the reason I even knew about it, because we actually had this conversation before, how I knew so much about it, was because it was... I used to come home after school, and I went to my grandmother's house after school, and it was... And I used to watch them with her. It was kind of like... It's like a soap opera.
Well, it's exactly what it was. It was a soap opera with a vampire. Yeah. At least one. And they've actually brought a comic book back, so, you know, Jonathan Frid lives on in this comic book form.
And he has a cameo in Dark Shadows, so...
So he's got one more screen appearance to come, but, you know, obviously the joke started going around, oh, he must have seen the movie and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I guess everyone has been talking about... I have to at least mention that Dick Clark died, but as far as the geek world goes, this is the death that matters a little more, even though I think Dark Shadows is one of those properties that had it not come back as a movie, the majority of geeks, I would say 35 and younger, might not even have any idea who that is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm an awkward person anyway, and I've kind of stumbled upon it in a way that most people don't stumble upon things, like I said, watching it with my grandma. But,
I just think it's funny that your grandma watched it, because my grandma would have never watched something like that. It's all horrible with monsters, and it's just, like, terrifying. That was like Buffy for, you know, the older generations.
What's funny is my grandma hated soap operas. She hated the other soap operas, and she only...
Oh, this was the only one she got into?
And Passions.
Well, is that, would that one have supernatural stuff, too?
Yeah. She liked. She's dead now, but she liked like vampires, and she liked all that.
Oh, so she's talking to Barnabas Collins now because they're both in heaven.
Yeah, we used to watch the old monster movies together too because she loved the old monster movies.
So you just loved anything monstery or supernaturally. That's where you got your geek
monsters.
Side from.
Oh yeah, my grandpa loved that stuff too. He loved monsters.
Because I know your parents, well, your dad especially, isn't really into all that.
My dad,
your mom will watch anything if you put it in front of her.
Yeah, my mom loves sci-fi. She loves aliens. You know that. She watched The Fifth Element 25 times a day.
Well, that's just.
And now she watches Avatar.
It's not a movie. She doesn't know. I don't even know if she's watching them.
Watches Avatar and Fifth Element more than any person watches any movie. So, but you know, as a kid, you know, kind of force your parents to watch what you like,
right?
You know,
well,
so
I tried. I never worked with my mom.
See, my dad eventually started like he loves the X-Men movies.
That's
so
random.
Yeah, he likes the X-Men movies. Like he's watched all the ones because I love those things. My brother loves those things, so he got into the X-Men movies. But he used to watch Angel. He didn't like Buffy because he didn't like Buffy's voice. He didn't like Sarah's voice. Huh. He would complain about her voice. I don't remember what it was. And he didn't like Allison Hannigan. No, he liked Allison Hannigan. He was like, I wish she was the star of the show. I like her. I don't like that. I don't like that other girl. It was like ridiculous. I just remember that about
That's
him.
Funny.
But he loved Angel. He watched Angel and he liked it a lot. So it was always funny. And now he watches – he actually watches How I Met Your Mother because he likes Allison Hannigan.
Oh, there you go. No Buffy on that one.
Yeah.
So I guess your dad's not watching Ringer.
Oh, no. He doesn't like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Well, that show's terrible anyways.
Yeah, well, there's that too. And the fact that he would have to know how to use a DVR if that was something he was going to watch.
But that actually creates a nice transition into our next story.
What's that?
Well, it's that Joss Whedon, which most people nowadays know as that guy who's directing the Avengers.
Good for him.
He... is talking, obviously doing the whole press junket for the movie, but people always ask him about Buffy and Angel and his old shows.
And, and you know what I like about him? Even though he gets 70,000 questions about, do you think you'll ever bring Firefly back like they're going to bring back Arrested Development? You know, he gets that all the time. He never, ever just gets angry with a person and cuts them off. He always gives them an answer. And sometimes it's a BS answer, but he just gives them an answer.
Well, yeah, he's always been very much in touch with the fans. He knows. I mean, Joss Whedon is as big as he is because of the loyalty of that fan base for his shows. Even Dollhouse, you know, which is arguably, even though it lasted longer than Firefly, is his biggest flop. Those fans
at least
are
Firefly
still
lived on.
Yeah, like, Firefly got a movie.
Yeah, well, it kind of got a movie.
Well.
It was actually just an episode that was long.
Right.
But they considered a movie.
But, you know, he's all three of those have continued in one form or another into comics, so he's always.
And everyone knows that Whedon loves to work with the same people. When he meets someone he likes. Oh boy, when he meets someone he likes. Like I wonder who's gonna show up in Avengers, like that he knows. You know,
well,
this guy's
going to.
Yeah, it could be like Nathan Fillion as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. It could be something small like that. People have said, like, I mean, Kobe Smulders getting a role in it as Maria Hill makes sense because she's friends with Allison Hannigan from their How I Met Your Mother, and Allison Hannigan and him are still really tight. So,
right.
I mean, it's kind of funny seeing who is casted in this extra.
Right.
It's still a Whedonite in one way or another.
And that's why whenever he talks about, you know, in this case it was the show Ripper, which was the Buffy spinoff that never happened. Whenever he talks about that, you know, Buffy fans perk up because if a show like that were ever to come up, you can guarantee that some of those actors would recur and come back and you'd get to see where they're at.
Yeah, not many of them could. I mean,
but
well, I guess Ripper would follow Giles.
Yeah, the premise
continues.
Of Ripper is that it's Giles after he left Buffy and kind of because he was the Ripper before, that was his nickname. And it's just kind of his story as a man who's maturing into whatever age he is now, still fighting the good fight with magic and against demons and vampires or whatever
and
is out there.
I can't remember if it became fodder or not, but I thought Giles was part demon. I don't know how far you are into Buff.
Yeah, I don't think I'm to that point now. I'm admittedly behind on my Buffy and Angel because they weren't around. Channel-wise, when I was growing up, where I lived didn't have the affiliates that carried those, so I missed out. So I've been trying to go back and catch up and watch, but I'm barely into. I'm almost done with the first season of Angel and like the first college years of Buffy, so I've got a ways to go still.
Yeah, those were some of the big shows that I, you know, had to get home and watch. But, you know, back before the DVR.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's the whole and it was like before DVR, before TV came out on DVD sets, streaming, before anything. So that was the problem with me, is I missed it, and that was it. You were never going to see them.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, and if you remember this, it's a funny TV thing. Do you remember, like, blowing your friends off for a show? I remember saying, I can't come over and play. Earth 2 is on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'll watch it.
There were certain nights or certain times where it's like, don't call me, don't do anything, because this is when the show is on, and I have to be there.
I had, like, a best friend who was a girl when I was a kid, and she'd call, and my dad would be like, hey, blah, blah, blah's on the phone. Well, you know, I was a little boy, and it was weird to have a friend that was a girl. The reason it was funny as a girl, because girls, you know, back then, sci-fi, and they didn't want to be part of it.
Well, they still don't.
She was like, okay. Like, she didn't get why. Like, Earth 2 was a big one, but yeah, Earth 2, I need to watch it. And she was like, okay. I love that show.
Oh, I love
it. It had everybody in it.
Earth 2 is probably one of the top 10 shows that, for me, that never really got a chance to live up to its potential.
I agree 100%, because it's like Clancy Brown as a lead. Come on. That's awesome. I don't know. I was that way. I never could get into Star Trek. My dad used to watch Star Trek, so I'd watch a couple episodes here and there, but get into it as a kid.
But did you saw the movie, right? The new one?
I've seen all the movies, actually.
Oh, God. Some of them are not good.
I actually prefer the movies to the TV show.
So then what is your thoughts of our next topic, which is that there are now talks about possibly after the next Star Trek movie, Brian Fuller, who is a big fan and kind of involved with Abrams as friends and colleagues or whatever, is possibly talking about maybe after the next movie bringing the property in some way or another back to TV.
I think that this is when Star Trek's ever not TV in between, do you think?
Say it again.
Enterprise, is this the longest that Star Trek's never been on TV?
Hold on.
I mean, like,
60, except for maybe the gap between the original Star Trek and then Next Gen.
Yeah, you're right. That was a pretty big gap.
That was 60s to late 80s, so. But that was like 20 years, and we're going.
It's only been like 10.
But since then, I mean, that was 89 through the 2000s, it was on TV. And it's this is the longest it's been off in a long, obviously, since then. It kind of became a staple that you knew there was going to be a Star Trek series. I think we had five of them in that span.
I don't think that cast should be put on TV, because I don't think it'll happen, and they'll have to recast.
Well, see, that's what I was kind of wondering, because I thought it might be interesting that there's been people talking about, will they reboot Next Generation?
Well, yeah, that's what I was just thinking, is not even Next Generation, just make an all-original one. Let Abrams... Because Abrams and Fuller, I know they've worked together. They like each other. Let them come up with their own Star Trek universe. I mean, you can keep some, you keep races, you keep things like that. But let's see their original story, where they don't have to. They have no guidelines.
Well, you'd be careful about that, because depending on when if they place it concurrent with Star Trek, maybe that could work. But you know, if you jump ahead a generation, people are going to want to see some of those other characters from Next Generation and Deep Space Nine and Voyager, because all concurrent.
But what if, like, okay, the original series, or chronologically, not in real life, but in the Star Trek universe, the original series was, the first series would have been Enterprise, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then Enterprise would have been followed by the actual original series.
Right.
And then it would have been...
Next Generation.
Next Generation. Deep Space Nine is actually kind of in the middle of that one.
Right. Deep Space Nine is
in a different
kind of...
area.
Yeah, and so is Voyager. They all kind of happen at the same time. In
so
the
why
same
couldn't
era.
It be after all these?
So jump ahead again?
Yeah. Make it a new line, a new Enterprise, that they can get away with new technology and new this, new that. The species are still the same, whatever, that's fine. You can have Q return, you can have...
Oh, you can have Data still show up if you get a different
actor.
Yeah,
Data, yeah. When he puts on the makeup, he still looks the same. I just saw him not long ago with the makeup on.
Well, I don't know that they'd... I mean, considering they recast the whole movie, I don't think... Well, except for Spock. But we're in a new timeline, so everybody would look a little different, I think. If they keep it with the continuity of the movies, which I think you'd want to.
And the Vulcans don't live that long, though.
No, I'm talking about Spock was in the movie.
Yeah.
But in the movie, he bridged into a new timeline.
Yeah.
Where now everybody's a different actor and everybody looks slightly different.
Oh, I see what you're
saying.
So
you don't need
to
use Brent Spiner. You could just pick someone else.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Who kind of looks like him.
If you wanted to keep the original, you know... I mean, who knows if it's a timeline that was created for the movie franchise. It could be based on the original timeline.
What I find interesting, though, is obviously the original Star Trek was known for more action than Next Generation. Things got very cerebral, and they did a lot with the holodeck, and I think some of that was budget constraints. But with the way technology's advanced now, the new Star Trek movie was very action-driven while still staying true to the roots of Star Trek. So a TV series could kind of do that same thing. Think about, like, Battlestar Galactica, which was even on a smaller budget, like a cable budget, managed to have big action sequences and a lot of space things going on, as opposed to guys walking in corridors and spaceships and talking. So a new Star Trek series could be a lot more high energy than the older ones were. Which might be enough to get you to watch them.
Yeah, because they were very, very reserved.
Yes.
It was like watching... It was television.
Well, the most exciting thing that would happen would be when Captain Picard would pull his shirt down.
Do you remember the Next Generation? What was it called? Something. They used to be on Spike, and they had like the pop-up bubbles.
Oh, it was like a pop-up video for Star Trek, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. They re-aired Star Trek, all of them, and they did little bubble pop-ups on Spike. And every episode, there'd be a shirt tug count.
He did it so many times.
He did it so many times. Every time he stood up.
Yeah, that's the. I mean, it's one of the most memorable things about that show, which really is kind of a sad statement about the show. I thought the show was great. It did a lot of really neat things.
Oh no, it was a great show. Yeah.
But it certainly had some stinker episodes. But it is funny to think that Captain Picard's shirt tug is one of the most memorable things. Clearly, that guy was wearing a shirt that didn't fit him right.
Because the way how stiff the shirts were made, when he stood up or sat down, it would reposition and be up on his neck. So that little tug was to keep it straight and smooth across his chest.
He made it look good, though.
Yeah.
He's another one of those people where if they were to say, we're going to bring back Star Trek Next Generation, and let's say they did want to use some of the original cast or whatever, honest to God, they could drop him in his Picard. He doesn't look any different.
No, he looks exactly the same. Like, maybe a little different than season one.
Well,
but no different than seasons.
But you think about some of the other actors, like Jonathan Frakes.
Oh, yeah.
Who looks way older than Picard now.
I was actually watching the Graham Norton show. That's a show in Britain. You know what it is? Talk show?
Uh-huh.
And the guests were Patrick Stewart and Liam Neeson. Okay?
I think I saw this one. Yeah.
At a table together, and they were making jokes about their action figures. And Liam Neeson's got, like, you know, the Ra's al Ghul figure, the Hannibal figure from A-Team.
Right.
He's got the Odin for, or not Odin, I'm sorry, Zeus from Wrath of Titans, and he's got, of course, I can't think of the name of the character right now.
What, Qui-Gon
Jinn?
Qui-Gon Jinn from Star Wars, badass characters.
So he's got all these bad, awesome characters, and they're like, well, let's look at Xavier character, or, you know, some Patrick Stewart characters, and there's Professor Xavier in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and Captain Picard, and he's stuck in a chair, and he's like, why are you always sitting down? And like, they're making that, but then Liam Neeson's like, see, what you don't remember is I was actually in a movie with you when I was like 19 or 20, and he had this picture, and they blew it up in the background, and it was Liam Neeson, and you could tell it's young Liam Neeson. This is before he looked like. And he had that terrible haircut. And then there was Patrick Stewart, and he looked a little younger, but I mean, it looked like within 10 years. But it had been, you know, forever. And Liam Neeson was like, how the hell do you look the way you do? Because Liam Neeson looks like an old guy.
Right.
And like, he's aged at natural pace that people age, but Patrick Stewart hit about 60 and just decided to stop aging.
And I think he hit 60 when he was like 35.
Oh, yeah, he hit it early.
Is what happened. It's like he quickly got to this, I'm going to have the horseshoe haircut, and I'm going to have this certain distinguished bald guy look, and then that's it. I'm never going to age again.
And have you ever seen a movie where he grows his hair out or has a beard or something? It's always weird.
I've seen him with a beard. I think he did that for Moby Dick.
Well, he had a beard for Star Trek for a short time.
Did he?
Yeah, I don't even think a whole season, but he had a gray beard for a short time. I'm almost positive.
I remember Jonathan Frakes having one for the rest of the run. I don't remember Picard ever getting one.
Maybe, I can't remember.
Maybe it was a temporary thing. I don't know.
It could have been one of the movies. Who knows? But anyway, that's neither here.
But speaking about TVs that come and go, TV shows that come and go, we'll talk a little bit about the shows that have come and gone since we last met, because I don't believe when we last did our little podcast, The Walking Dead wasn't even over yet.
I don't think so, no.
So we never got a chance to talk about that finale.
Meh. The episode before, now that was a good one.
So what about the finale, was, because a lot of people really liked it.
It ended amazing. It was just the setup was lame.
I thought the battle for the farm was really well done.
Well, I mean, the problem with the battle of the farm was this. From step one, whenever you first, very beginning, whenever it's Carl and
Rick,
and you first see all the zombies, immediately, there's no hope that they're going to win. There's just way too many of them.
Well, true.
And that's what I thought in my head. So every time when they were fighting and everything, I was just thinking the entire time, you're just going to lose people. You're just going to lose people.
But I think they even knew that. The sense was that it wasn't a matter of save the farm. It was, can we all get away from this?
And you lost, of course, you know, the kid who cares. I think his name was Billy. I don't know. No one cares about that.
Well, yeah, they didn't do a really good job of killing people that mattered.
Yeah, they should have killed at least one person that mattered. Even Otis's wife made it out of it, I think.
She died. She was the most notable person that died.
Yeah, it was the boy who just kind of was there, and then Otis's wife. And it's like, I was expecting Herschel to lose one of his daughters. Not Maggie, of course, but lose the other daughter and make it, you know, make next season be really good because now Herschel's lost another one.
Right. Well, he lost a son. Girl.
Well, yeah, and he lost his wife, and he's lost plenty.
No, I mean, in the finale, he lost one of his sons. That was one of the boys that died.
That wasn't his son.
I'm pretty sure it was.
No, it was just a family friend.
Hmm. I thought that was one of his sons.
No, he only had one son, and his son died before. Because otherwise, they would have actually been a little more upset over the fact that it may have been Otis's son, even.
I don't know. But I thought that was really well done. Obviously, the final closing moment was really well done.
Well, the moment that gave me tinglies and made me flip out was, of course, Andrea about to die, which was exciting because, honestly, even though I like Andrea in the comic, TV show Andrea, meh.
But and that, like, that well, was a – I loved the idea of her running from those zombies for a full day.
Oh, yeah.
What a great thing to get to put that character through. Because
she kind of needs to badass it up a little bit.
And she was badassing it up. She was taking them out with rocks and shit. You're
exactly.
Like, yeah. All right.
She's like, I'll just keep running and pick them off one by one. I don't care how long it takes.
Yeah. She could have tucked back the whole form at that point. She was just running around, bashing her heads in.
So, yeah, I loved that for her character. I thought that's perfect.
Then, of course, we see Michonne show up. Oh, my God.
And I loved that they managed to perfectly recreate that first appearance in the comic book. Visually.
The
visual was perfect.
The hounds, her boyfriend and her brother that have their arms and their lower jaws cut off, she keeps them around so then they can't smell her.
Right.
Oh, my God. Brilliant. Oh, my God, it was beautiful. And then Rick just fucking flipping out.
Yeah, I'm actually really glad that the TV series is keeping in mind that there's nothing about Rick that says he's a great leader.
No, he's
actually
just
happens
a bad
to be the leader.
Yeah, people just want to follow him. They think, you're a cop. You obviously have some type of leadership abilities.
Yeah, but no, like, not at all.
No, not really. I'm better than anyone else here.
Basically, yeah, I'll keep you alive, but it's not going to be pretty. So I thought that was a pretty effective. The only thing I think that drove me crazy about it was I hated Lori's reaction to his admission about Shane. Hated it.
Yeah. And I know part of it is because she feels really, really responsible.
Yeah. But she's taking it all, saying, like, he's a monster for doing this. That was her look, was like, you are a monster. Don't even talk to me.
Yeah, even,
like,
even
you told
though,
him to.
Yeah, even though, well, not even did she tell him that he needs to kill Shane. She told Shane that Shane needs to make a decision on what he wants to do.
Right.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, so basically started this. And so she really needs to die. No one needs to die more than her, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel bad because Carl, but it's like, first of all, she never even knows where Carl is. It's an internet meme of, where's Carl?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Like it's just she never
That's like
knows her
the
head.
worst parenting ever is the
Oh
way
my God,
that they
it's
are
like
parenting
yeah,
that
you
kid.
can't watch your kid, let alone in a goddamn zombie apocalypse, you can't keep track of your kid. You think that would be the time to actually pay attention.
Yeah, I think that would make him top priority. What else do you have going on?
Yeah, you walk around the house bitching at people when you can't keep a hold of your kid? Come on. And
but
I love
you know
how
what?
No one else.
You gotta give Carl credit though, because that kid manages to be absolutely everywhere.
Yeah.
That he
well,
shouldn't be.
When you think about this, everyone else is pretty bad too, because when she's like, where is he? They're all like, oh, I don't know. And I think on the three separate times that Carl's just kind of disappeared, I think each time Daryl has said where he saw him last. Like, Daryl's the only person paying attention.
Yes.
Like, I saw him go over here.
I think Daryl is all around the best person there. And he's got his own problems, but as far as just a decent human being...
I would say Glenn is the best person
well,
there,
Glenn,
but
sure.
as far as the most likely to actually make it out of this thing without help, yeah, no one's going to get past Daryl. But up to the prison sets up season two. Awesome. I mean, we can jump right into the prison, which is something that everyone wants to see. It was probably the best story arc in the comic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think even now, because I'm caught up on the comic, I don't think it... There have been interesting things. There's been a few major developments, but nothing was as exciting as seeing the prison, the idea of the prison, and what they've done with it. It was just on the edge of your seat in a way that he hasn't really captured since.
Yeah. Now, the things I worry about are this. We don't have twins. The twins were never introduced.
Right.
So we're not going to have the original... scary, tragic reveal in the prison of the twins being murdered and the banker end up being a homicidal maniac.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to tweak some things about who's in the prison. I would imagine there'll be some new characters that weren't in the comics again. And, geez, Carl, is Carl the only kid right now?
Yeah. They killed off his little girlfriend. I mean, she's still around in the comics.
Yes, I mean, unless there's going to be another group of survivors, like, between where they're at in the prison, which isn't that far.
I mean, they could kill the other daughter and just replace her with the twins.
Or maybe they're going to have survivors already in the prison. Maybe they'll change it up that much to where they're joining a group that's already there.
In the original comic, let's see, who's left in the prison? The biker, who's in prison for hate crime.
Right.
Tyrese? Isn't he?
Was he in the prison or
yeah,
did he just
pretty,
go?
Yeah, pretty positive he was in the prison. I thought they even found him while he had just gotten out of the hole. And then there was the little gay black guy and his big boyfriend.
Right.
And then there was the banker.
Right.
Who ended up being a homicidal maniac. Sticked around so that he could kill off these guys one by one, just for fun.
Well, cash is getting too big.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, there's really been no mention of Tyrese, which is interesting, because T-Dog is a poor man's Tyrese. He's not nearly as compelling.
No. Yeah, and T-Dog made it out unscathed, which surprised me. And what's her name? Sophia's mom.
Oh, shoot. I don't know. I don't remember.
Who cares? Yeah, she made it out okay. It's like, I was thinking there was going to be a bloodbath at the season ender. I thought we were going to lose four or five people.
Right.
And we actually ended up losing two, and neither of them were anywhere near important.
Yeah, and that's what was weird to me, because they talked about, oh, people are going to die, people are going
to
die.
To make it important, you could have killed off T-Dog. I mean, T-Dog, even his death would have been something that made you go, oh, man.
And I think if he would have gotten that script, and it would have been like, oh, dude, your character's going to die, he'd have been like, oh, okay. I've done nothing all season.
I stand around and take orders from everybody. So, yeah, okay. I had one good story arc, and it caused me – I know why they kept T-Dog alive.
Well, that's just it. They're keeping him alive to resolve that story arc because Merle is coming back next season.
Yeah, so
– Merle might be in the prison. Maybe that's how they're going to handle that.
Oh, yeah, and there's rumors that Merle's going to be kind of a mad governor even. I mean, I know they've actually –
So that's actually interesting. Think about how they could change it up enough that Merle already made it to the prison and has already kind of taken over and is in there, which could introduce a whole bunch of new people. So then you have a battle for the prison before you even get to the governor.
True.
But anyways, that's all. I don't really have much more to say about that till next year. Do you?
Yeah. Until we see more. Right now, it's all speculative.
Right. Other than that, I think The River ended and likely is going to just end. Netflix hasn't officially said no to The River like they did Terra Nova.
And I like The River. I ended up getting really into it at the end there. The last five episodes, I got really into.
Yeah, I think they took a little too long getting there.
Yes.
And I think they lost a lot of viewers along the way. But once
it's like they were trying the Lost method, you know?
Everyone tries that method, but that just doesn't work. The way Lost did that was unique. And no one's been able to capture it. Now, the only other really big thing in the geek world is that the final season of Eureka kicked off, and it was a real mind-bender, weird episode. I don't even really know what happened in it other than it's 4 years later, but then it isn't because none of it's real. But what is real, and when did I don't know. The way they ended it, you don't watch Eureka, do you?
I actually watched it all the way up till this season. For some reason, I decided to drop it on the final season. So I'll probably end up close to the end of the season watching it all in a marathon.
Well, then I won't say too much about it because it was actually really interesting and really well done. But it's definitely, like I said, a mind-bender. You get to the end of it and you're like, wow, not only do I not know what was real of what I just watched, but now I don't know what was real of what I've ever watched. But there's a reason for that. It's all scientific.
Well, yeah, because the time travel stuff from the previous season was two previous seasons ago. Last season was just them trying to open the time travel.
Right.
So, I mean, it's been wonky for a while now, so
right,
I can see this season finally trying to kind of sum things up. Well, that they said they're going to tone down some of the wackiness of it and make it a little more serious just for the final season.
Yeah, this was the darkest episode they've ever done. I mean, it still had a few wacky elements to it, but it was really well done. There's only been one episode so far, so you should probably watch it because you'll really like it. It's really well done. Last things that I have really are Game of Thrones came back. Obviously got renewed for another season because the ratings continue to grow, which is good. And then what surprised me actually a little bit was the UK version of Being Human, in which at the beginning of this season, the only cast member left was the Ghost. So they had to basically rewrite and kind of reboot the whole show around her character. And then it did well enough to get renewed. So that's impressive to me.
Yeah.
Because that show was a lot about those characters.
Yeah. And speaking of Game of Thrones, the SNL skit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. If anybody, it was funny even if you don't watch Game of Thrones, but if you did happen to have seen the most recent episode before that, oh my god.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
See, Michael, or I can't remember if his kid's name is Michael or Timmy or whatever. But he's like, Michael knows that whenever I wasn't writing about boobs and sex, I was thinking about it when George R. R. Martin was talking. That was so funny. Bathroom break. Bathroom break, guys. Bathroom break. He takes a lot of bathroom breaks.
You know the scene that inspired it was the crazy sex scene with people spying on a crazy sex scene, having another crazy sex scene with another guy spying on that. Because that was just so gratuitously pointless.
Yeah.
That it's just like, yeah, that's hilarious.
So they got people doing a dog aisle, and then this guy's peeking through, and he's like, hello, and then we pan out, and there's a woman there working on him. So what do? We go back, and hello, I'm peeking at him. It's ridiculous.
It definitely says something about how big that show's gotten, though, that SNL pinged it for a major skit like that.
Yeah.
So, what do you know about C2E2, Brandon?
Well, I guess we could talk about DC Nation first. Yeah, I see, because that kind of moves into what I got to talk about.
Yeah, I watched the shows online, the cartoons, and for whatever reason, I haven't found the DC Nation shorts. And I didn't think to myself this season, because the way they've done, they do the DC block, and it's Young Justice and the other one,
Green Lantern.
And then in between them, or I don't even know when they do them, but throughout that hour block, you get little shorts.
Yeah, there's one inside of both of them.
But those aren't online that I've found yet, so I haven't seen any of them except for, like, still shots and different things. But it looks like there's some pretty neat things happening. Some of them are more lighthearted, like a Tiny Titans type of humor.
Yeah, there's a Tiny Titans thing, which brings back a lot of the feel of that. There's a girl, Donna Troy, and Wonder Woman skit that they kind of are going to start doing recurring, and that one's kind of cute, like the super, you know, it's the superpowered females of the DC universe.
Right.
There's a weird claymation Batman one that, I don't know, it's kind of funny, it's like little kids talking, it's okay, but honestly, if I never saw another one of those, it's like that weird Wallace and Gromit claymation.
Yeah.
And then there's Superman of Japan, or Superman of Tokyo, which is terrible. I think that's the worst one, and it's like a baby who can turn into a Superman.
Hmm.
Or some. It's really bad. And Plastic Man is the other one. He gets his own thing. And, oh, I'm sorry, and there's an Animal Man skit, which is absolutely my favorite. The Animal Man skits are freaking hilarious. It's just, it's stupid, and it just...
I just remember seeing a still shot of Animal Man sitting on a telephone wire.
Yeah, with a bunch of pigeons.
Yeah.
And he's making pigeon sounds and stuff. Because this Animal Man is kind of a failure at being a hero. The Plastic Man skit's okay. It's very Simon Barker Plastic Man. So, you know, he's really over the top. And kind of like when he transforms sometimes...
Simon Barker? Are you trying to say Kyle Baker?
Kyle Baker. What am I talking about?
I don't know. Simon Barker. Got confused for a minute.
Simon Barker's someone completely different. Anyway, yeah, Kyle Baker. Why did I say that?
I don't know.
I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, yeah,
Kyle. Kyle Baker.
Now I'm going to call him Carl.
You can do it.
Yeah, Kyle Baker.
Good job.
It reminds me a lot of the Kyle Baker stuff where it's very Ren and Stimpy-like, you know?
Right.
It does that real zoomed-in kind of gross, extreme
look
stuff that SpongeBob...
Stuff like that.
Yeah. So it's fun. It's really fun and goofy. They're all really fun and goofy. DC has a similar, or Marvel has a similar thing going on at Marvel Universe, which is their thing on XD called Marvel Mashup. And their main character is Spider-Man, because, I mean, everybody likes Spider-Man, so they knew that they'd do well with that. But it's old footage of Spider-Man and his amazing friends, and they just put different they just do voiceovers with it. And that animation was so bad back in the day, and sometimes they redid animation over and over again, and sometimes they, the animation, the colors would move spots, and they'd just let it go through. So they really point out whenever stuff like that is bad, and some of it's really funny. It actually makes me laugh, and both of them have kind of gone out there and did that. You know, comic books are funny, and people like the culture to the point where we can make jokes about the culture, and people will like it, and I love that. I think that's just awesome.
The whole idea of making an entertainment block out of it, and I even like the idea, to be honest, that like, you can't find these online.
And I love that. Is it Cartoon Network that DC Nation's on?
Yeah.
I love that Cartoon Network and Disney are head-to-head. That's awesome. Disney XD's got the Marvel Universe,
right.
And Cartoon Network's got... the DC Nation. So, I mean, it's like head-to-head cartoons. It's really cool because it's just going to cause them to keep trying to do better.
Right.
Like, they're like, well, look at Green Lantern and the animated series. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, we'll have this. And they're like, oh, yeah, well, here comes Beware the Batman. It's going to be the next one added on to the DC one.
Yeah, and that's what I'm kind of wondering about, because I remember long ago when the Disney Afternoon was first getting started, and it was just two shows like this. And then it turned into a two-hour block of four shows. And they kind of cycled and rotated, and it just kind of makes me interested if these work, if they could end up doing something like that. You have DC Nation Block, which could be 2 hours, and then I love the shorts split into, because it kind of makes it to where you like immerse yourself into that complete world.
Well, DC right now has, it's two things. It has Green Lantern, the animated series, and Young Justice, okay? So Young Justice is like their new Justice League thing. We see a lot of League members. We're meeting the young versions of them.
Right.
It's a serious tone.
Yeah, that's basically
tone.
The DC universe.
Yeah, and then we have the animated Green Lantern series. And the Green Lantern series is fantastic. It's more way more lighthearted than Young Justice.
Right.
And it deals with something that's more popular, which is, of course, you know, Green Lantern. We know that Beware the Batman is coming up soon. They're going to be putting out Beware the Batman sometime in 2013. On the Marvel side of it, we got Ultimate Spider... Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, And the Avengers is a serious tone that's dealing with, you know, the Avengers that's coming out soon. So, I mean, it's the parallel to Young Justice.
Right.
And then we have, alongside it, Ultimate Spider-Man, which is freaking hilarious, by the way.
I actually started watching that because I'm trying to keep up on these. I was really surprised in a positive way by just how different that show was.
And
I love the voiceover narration and the way he kind of pauses the action to tell you who this is and what all's going on. And
it's really Spider-Man. It seems like it reminds me of, you remember reading Spider-Man, the mid-80s Spider-Man, where he was really just making wisecracks constantly.
Yeah.
And they do the yellow boxes where the Marvel bullpen would put their own little clever little swarky things and say, yeah, that's what it reminds me of is back then. So I love that. I love that aspect of it. And it's introducing people like Nova, who is a fan favorite in the comic book industry, but he doesn't really have a foothold anywhere else.
Right.
Luke Cage and Iron Fist, another two characters, again, fan favorites, no strength otherwise.
And it's definitely written to a way, obviously it's the Ultimate Universe, it looks like, at least when you think of Nick Fury.
Yeah.
But it's written to a way of people coming out of the Marvel movies, kids who watch the Marvel movies can come in, and it feels like, it feels connected, even though it's much sillier.
Yeah, and it's got Coulson in it, and it's got the Samuel Jackson style of Nick Fury. So to me, it's like, if Marvel was allowed to relaunch Spider-Man, is this how they were going to do it?
Oh, I think so.
The real young Spider-Man? So who knows? But and we know that coming up, I know it's coming up. I got to see animation test for it. And, Hulk and the Agents of Smash.
That's
going to
cool.
be the new series coming out, and it's the Hulk leading a team, and it's going to be like kind of like World War Hulk. He's kind of smart. He's still Hulk Smash, but he's kind of smart Hulk.
Right.
His team consists of Hulk, She-Hulk, who is voiced by Eliza Dushku, which is awesome. And she has like, I don't know, I guess she's going to be more tech-related because it showed her with, like, electric gloves at this point. Hmm. So she's going to be – she made, like, some smart-ass comment and then punked. Up next was Red Hulk, who's old and grumpy, but he is a military man all the way, and he was, like, carrying, like, giant turret guns. So he's going to be, like, their heavy-duty mean guy. And it sounded like Clancy Brown talking, but it could have been someone else.
Right. Clancy Brown loves doing cartoons.
Yeah, A-Bomb is in it, and A-Bomb is, of course, Rick Jones as the Abomination, kind of, and he does his little turn into a ball spinny thing, and, I mean, this A-Bomb was thinner and smaller than previous ones that we've seen, but he's also kind of that fun, lighthearted, happy-go-lucky, so he's going to be the kid member, and the final member, which his introduction on the show was amazing, and that's Scar, son, is going to be in it.
That's cool.
So, and he was like, Scar, get him. And Scar, like, comes out with this giant sword and just blasts everything in half. It was amazing. So, it looks really fun. It looks like it's going to be just really cool and out there. Hulk, I think, is going to be the breakout character of the Avengers movie for people to go, you know what, I really like Hulk. So, it's a smart move. I mean, DC's got a smarter move putting out Batman, of course. But, I mean, honestly, they don't really have much of a choice with who they can put on there. The Marvel's going to be doing things as they go along. But, like you said before, just like the Disney Afternoons, I can see this starting something. If Beware the Batman does really well and Agents of Smash does really well and we can still see that competitiveness, we're going to see DC go, we got another one. And then it's going to be a two-hour block. Yep. Right now it's an hour block. It's going to be an hour and a half block, then the two-hour block. It's to the point where it's going to be like CW, now they're CW, they had Static Shock, Justice League, or Static Shock, and then Batman the Animated Series, and then this, and then, I mean, they just had everything, and it was like a four-hour block of similar characters, the action block. So I can see them definitely doing that. The C2E2 stuff I got to see was, of course, the animation test and the early sketch drawings and everything of Hulk and Agents of Smash. I got to see an episode of Ultimate Spider-Man that hasn't aired yet, which stars Wolverine, where Wolverine and Spider-Man switch bodies, and easily probably my favorite episode. Oh my god, it was just some of the things they do.
That sounds funny. They could make, I mean, and it's so funny though, because to me, Spider-Man, like you said, back in the 80s he was supposed to be funny, And I guess because of Watchmen and everything, darkening comics, even though he still cracks jokes, Spider-Man's world got really dark for a long time. And even Ultimate Spider-Man was a little dark and serious.
Now,
so,
really dark.
So the idea of this being just, it's like the joy of superheroes is
yeah,
what
and,
that is.
And what's funny is in this episode, Wolverine comes in as that other side, that hero who hurts people, that
right.
dark, mean, brooding hero who hurts people. And Spider-Man doesn't understand it because we see Spider-Man as Wolverine run into Sabretooth, and he's like, I'll just stop him, and then we'll call the cops. And Wolverine's like, that's not how it works around my parts. And it's kind of like a good little commentary on how comics are now. The lighthearted hero is no longer around. It's the savage murderers as villains and the tough-ass, hard-boiled people who are willing to kill to beat them.
Right.
You know?
And everybody
and
looks
so,
at the silly pansies who won't kill as weak.
Yeah. So and Spider-Man, and that's what the entire episode is about, is Spider-Man being Wolverine seeing Spider-Man as weak. And secret identities, which is funny, because Wolverine doesn't get secret identities. He's like, let people know who you are. Why does it matter? You're a hero. They're not going to stop you. And Spider-Man's like, please do not get into this without, you know, my mask on. I do not want to get caught as Peter Parker, Spider-Man. I don't want people to know. So,
right.
All in all, the show is getting better and better. Marvel and DC both have outdone themselves. I was getting lost on Green Lantern a little bit there. Honestly, I was like, this is getting kind of weak. I hope they get a good episode out. And then they did that MOGO episode, which was awesome. It was just, it was everything.
They definitely seem to be going for kind of a slow build with that one. They're really pacing that almost like an anime series or something, to where there's a bigger story happening, but we're very slowly going to pull our team together. We're very slowly going to reveal what they're doing and why. And I could see where that could start to maybe lose people a little bit.
Yeah, it's getting really interesting so far. And Young Justice is getting deep. The stuff they're doing on there is pretty deep.
And that's what's surprising about Young Justice, because I honestly, when I heard about it, I thought it was going to be more like an Ultimate Spider-Man, where it was going to have a little bit of a lighter tone, because it's the younger characters. And you've got Kid Flash on there, who's, you know, a lunatic. But they've managed to have things be a little bit light, but at the same time, you know, like I said before, this is basically the entire DC universe filtered through the eyes of these kids, which is fascinating, because even the Young Justice comic books and any other, I don't remember, they've had other names, but when it's kind of been these characters, the Teen Titans, all those, they never really have it really explore how these characters feel about the whole DC universe at large. It's just been they're kind of in their own bubble doing their own thing with their own villains.
Having,
so I love that perspective.
Having all of them fight to become a member of the League is interesting too. It's like they want to be a League member. They want to do this. They want to do that. All of that is something that we never saw. Because like on Teen Titans, they were the Teen Titans and everything, but that was it. They were just the Teen Titans.
Oh, exactly.
It's like, how are they just these kids hanging out fighting crime? Shouldn't there be someone watching them or something, you know? And
right. That's
what this show does, is kind of shows the structure of things, and it deals with a lot of different things. I mean,
it does make me want to kind of see a Justice League series in that universe with that style, because it's like you see glimpses of them fighting these battles or these other things that are going on. It's like, I'm interested in that too.
and the humor, when it shows them, the humor and the seriousness that they use, there was a great scene where like Wonder Woman's like, what are you talking about, young? Because they're complaining about Captain Marvel being 10 years old, and he goes, well, what are you talking about, young? You adopt somebody and train them to become this. And Batman basically said to him, I didn't give him the ability to get revenge so then he would become me. I gave him the ability to get revenge so he wouldn't become me.
Right.
So, I mean, they deal with things like that. And then on top of that, there's also, like, when they're talking about a new member, I think Martian Manhunter says, well, you know, Green Lanterns are extremely powerful. We have two on the team,
John Stewart
and Hal Jordan. Would we want another one on the team and add Guy Gardner to the team? And, I mean, right away, Hal Jordan and John are like, no. No Guy Gardner on the team.
And what's great about that is think about people who don't read the comics, who don't know anything about the DC universe. They're not going to get a lot of those.
Yeah, and no one gets why wouldn't they want Guy Gardner on the team? And that's going to make some people go, well, that's stupid. I don't get that. But it's going to make other people go, who's this Guy Gardner? I want to look it up. Why would they say no? Who's Plastic Man? Why is this guy there? Who's Dr. Fate? Who's Kent Nelson? They keep talking about Kent Nelson as Dr. Fate. Who's this guy? I mean, just to some of the characters they play up with. And Icon, they're like, this Icon, who's Black Superman? This guy's awesome. Right. Who's Icon? Who's Rocket? I want to see who these people are. I mean, they're introducing people to Sony things. And the fact that the Milestone universe is in that universe, I love. And now that Rocket is kind of a member of the team, I hope she stays. I hope they introduce Static eventually. Because he would be a great addition to it.
I wouldn't see why they wouldn't. I mean, they basically opened that door.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they were testing the waters with her. But if it does well, then Static and Kid Flash would be excellent together.
Unless Static is tied up because his series was more recent, he might be tied up in a contract that they can't loop him in yet.
Yeah, because Warner Brothers owned that, so I can see that being an issue.
About all I've got for TV. It went longer than I thought. I guess we had more to talk about than, I don't know.
Well,
I always underestimate how much we can just talk.
Oh, yeah. And we got on a weird conversation about, like, Patrick Stewart not aging and stuff.
Well,
so
he doesn't.
Like...
It's creepy. But that's all I got. So do you want to tell everyone where they can find you and this and everything else?
Well, as always, you can find me on 8daysgeek.com, and I'm always there doing something. If you need to talk to me, if you need to know something, you can email me, brandon@8daysgeek.com. You can find me on Twitter, @BrandoSupreme. I'm pretty active on Twitter, so it'd be hard not to hear from me. And you can always call this podcast and actually talk to us and leave a message. And coming up here soon, we might actually have a prize coming up, a Walking Dead digital comic that we got. It's like it's issue one for free for the Comixology app, so it's only like $1, but hey, it's free, and we're gonna probably raffle it off to people who call in this podcast and the TV podcast and see who gets it. But if you're wanting to win that, and it's pretty awesome,
the
issue
podcast.
One is amazing.
You meant the comic podcast,
the comic and the TV one. Then call 754-273-6397.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Can you give me that number again?
No problem. If you want to win a Walking Dead Issue 1 digital, call 754-273-6397.
Oh, I got it that time.
Yeah. And, Jay, where can people see your lovely mug?
You can see my lovely mug, I guess. You can go on Twitter. You can follow me at UltraVersion21, UltraVersion21 on Twitter. I may change that, but I don't know.
Yeah, that might be changing soon.
I'm contemplating things. You can find me over at HuffPost TV, HuffingtonPost.com/TV. I'm usually working the overnights, reacting and talking about whatever just happened on primetime TV, late night TV. So, you know, if you watch shows and have opinions about them, you can come find me there and drop comments on those articles. And again, like Brandon said, leave us a voicemail. You can ask questions. You can find, I believe I have an email at 8daysgeek, but it's been so long now I forgot it again.
Jason J. Hughes
at 8daysgeek.com. That would make sense for it to be Jason J. Hughes. That may be what my Twitter handle becomes, if I can get it. I don't know. Don't go take it, jerks. No,
oh, yeah,
we love you.
Gone. It's gone.
Damn it. It happened so fast.
It was bought up by a gay porn site.
Oh, wait, that might have been me. Sorry, I have another business I don't really talk about on this podcast. That's all I've got, so I would say keep geeking out, keep watching TV, and we'll see you back here, I guess, 3 weeks now. It'll be a little less than a month because we were late, but we'll get back on track next month. And look for us at the other podcasts every week here on 8 Days Geek, and thanks for listening.